Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Menendez brothers, well, they're not getting out in time for Thanksgiving, as many of us had speculated. The Attorney General did not get reelected. There's a new one in town, and that's kind of putting a little kink in the plans of the brothers. Getting out with the judge just this last week saying, yeah, we're not going to do that December 11th hearing. We're going to move this out to January 30th because I got a lot of stuff to go through. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Is this the reason? Is it the AG shift mainly that you think why we are not seeing a flat out, okay, the brothers can go free ruling from this judge, wants to play fair with everybody that's a new one coming in?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. You know, he's not looking at a district attorney that is lobbying for their release anymore. He's looking at a district attorney that's saying, let's put the brakes on this. Let's look into these boxes and boxes of evidence. Let's listen to the people who work the case. Let's listen to the witnesses and look at the evidence. I mean, I think it's the right thing to look over everything prior to releasing two cold-blooded murderers.
What are they looking for here in this evidence? Because we all know the stories, and we know the narrative that the brothers are pushing. We know the narrative that people who have nothing to do with the brothers have pushed, the Roy Roselio from Menudo. Talking about his experience with Jose Menendez, and it seems to be fairly much a similar thing that happened to him as to what happened with those brothers, and there's been other members of Menudo who have said that they may come out as well. What would be something that they may find in these boxes and boxes of evidence that the judge or the DA would say, yeah, because of this, I don't think we should be letting you guys out now?
I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I mean, the question is if as a child you were molested by your parent, and then if years later you decide to kill them when you're 21 and when you're 18, mm-hmm. can you be justified to commit murder? And if so, should your sentence be a true life sentence? Mm-hmm. So I think that has to be considered. I mean, it could be very precedent setting. Think of all the other individuals who may come forward and say, oh, by the way, that's why I committed the murder I committed.
Yeah.
You know, I was sexually abused. So it's opening up a Pandora's box, in my opinion, to backtrack 35 years and say, this is why they should be considered for release, because as you said, all those years ago that was known. I know in trial one, much more evidence was allowed in about the purported abuse than trial two, but it was allowed in trial two. The reason to me that trial two wasn't successful with a hung jury was because Lyle, in his own words and on tape, had talked about it being concocted to a, you know, a love interest. And it was all, she recorded everything and it was on tape. Mm-hmm. And so he no longer could testify testify at all. So then it just came down to Eric, and then the number of witnesses was limited as well. And again, you didn't have any witnesses that either said at that time that they were molested or that had any proof of anything really. Yeah. Other than they believed that that made sense because of how they were treated by Jose.
And that's always been an interesting thing to me, the fact that those statements were made and the love interest recorded that, saying this was concocted and stuff. But is it as black and white as that? Was this someone who was talking about, we did this, these things happened to us. But maybe because of the abuse, maybe because of the mindset that they had been in after living through all of that, maybe there was a weirder level of excitement of, we're going to expose this. We're going to put this out there. Maybe we are going to talk a little more, padding the evidence a little bit, or putting some weight where it's not necessarily accurate, but believing that they needed to do that for a jury to hear them or understand where they were coming from. What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think the problem was they well crossed the line. I mean, they asked for purportedly, I mean, well, not purportedly because it's recorded, but they asked for people to lie on their behalf and say things that happened that didn't happen. And the problem is when you're looking back 35 years, Tony, all of the facts start to really fade in everyone's mind. And the new set of facts that people want to believe, and you know, that's what people hear.
Yeah.
That's what's in the media. And so I think that's what this district attorney is saying is, listen, let's turn toward the real facts. So in other words, if they concocted this scheme, which Lyle talks about, that needs to be looked at, because that's saying, listen, we're just saying all this to get off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a huge problem.
Yeah. Without a doubt, there's so many bizarre angles to this whole story. And at the end of the day, what is the appropriate punishment? And you know, what was the mindset of those boys at that time? After living through years of abuse, that could really skew the way one views this or one talks about it to others. It'll be fascinating to see where this goes. Bill Maher on Real Time the other night, season finale, does a look into the future, future headlines of 2025. And he said, Menendez Brothers, the newest addition to Dancing with the Stars. And if they do get free, I don't think that that's that impossible of a possibility, quite honestly.
I think that would happen.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that they will be making the media run. I think they'll be on television shows. They'll be on Saturday Night Live. They'll be all over the place. There'll be books. There'll be, I mean, we know that they had an interest in being in the spotlight, yeah. Just how they ran their affairs after the murder. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to see that. Tony, one of the biggest, I think, non-pieces of evidence, if you will, that at least for somebody like me, looking at a critical eye at this, is the fact that they have the hours and hours of Dr. Ozeal's tapes. And yeah. On those tapes, even though they admit all these details about this murder and they talk about the motive for committing it, never once did they mention the motive being because they were sexually assaulted or ever said anything about sexual assault? Does that make a lot of sense? It doesn't make a lot of sense, because that's your point to say, listen, doc, this is why we blew literally the heads off of our parents.
Would that not have been accepted back at that point in time? It's the only thing I can think of, or as easily accepted as it would be today.
But they were talking to their therapist.
I know. Yeah. That doesn't add up. There's a lot of elements that do not add up in this case, but there's a lot of ones that do. And I think that's why we are sitting where we're sitting right now.
Well, when you look at the, you know, the support that they have from their family, a 92-year-old sister, another sister that's very elderly, that they're coming out and they're saying, you know, listen, they should be out. They absolutely believe that Jose sexually abused them. Absolutely believe it. And I think one thing that almost everybody can agree on in this case is Jose was not a nice dad in terms of how he treated these sons in a lot of respects. You know, he embarrassed them in front of others. He emotionally and verbally abused them. But I mean, his sons were running a ring of thieves. They were thieves.
That too.
You know, they were breaking into houses. They were stealing people's goods and belongings. They were fencing them. I mean, they were, you know, he pulls every string he can, makes all these contributions to get Lyle into Princeton. And what does Princeton, what does he do right away? Is he plagiarizes a paper? I mean, he's a fraud, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know. There's just so many angles to this. But it seems like Jose was not a good man, and the boys didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.